The head coach, and I think it's safe to say, when you're a 16 seed in March Madness and you knock off the number one seed, which had never happened before, that's got to be the biggest upset in NCAA basketball history. Ryan Odom joins us, the head coach of UMBC. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. And I know it's not that far removed when you think about it. And we always talked about it. Well, eventually it's going to happen. But until it happens, you never know. And then people believe. And I guess kind of take us through the lead up for you as a coach. You know, when you're a 16 seed and you got to tell your players, hey, we got a chance. But I'm sure for some of them, and maybe even the coach, it's like, well, do we really have a chance? How do you get over that mental block?
Yeah, first off, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always great to talk about that particular team and that I was fortunate enough to coach. But, you know, leading into that game, you know, to answer your question, we were coming off a very emotional win, you know, against Vermont on their home court on a last-second shot just to even make the NCAA tournament, which was so special. And, you know, that in a lot of ways was, you know, because that's what, you know, teams at our level, that's the goal. You know, you want to get to the NCAA tournament. You want to be able to win your conference tournament because you know that's the only way in. And to be able to accomplish that goal was really special. But, you know, going into the selection Sunday and having that day with the players and the staff and the fans was really fun. And then finding out that you're getting ready to play the number one team in the country, the team that's number one on offense and defense, then all of a sudden you have a big gulp. And you're like, oh boy, we got to play the Wazzes. They're playing really well. And, you know, at that point, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you. I was thinking, well, they've held really good teams, teams that are already in the tournament, you know, that are in their league to like 36 points in one game. And so my initial thought was, how the heck are we going to score a basket against them? But, you know, the great thing about sports and the great equalizer there is that, you know, anything can happen on that given day. And there's no guarantee that any team's going to win. That either team's going to win. And so, you know, the team that I was fortunate enough to coach that particular year had a lot of confidence. They'd been in some big games that particular season. They had played teams at Virginia's level. We opened up the season at SMU and were up 13, I think, at one point in that game and six late in the game and then kind of fell apart there. And that was without our starting point guard who you saw play in that Virginia game. He didn't even play in that game. And then we went straight from Dallas and went over and played Arizona, who had DeAndre Ayton, and we were in that game in the second half, 58-55 with, you know, probably 13 minutes to go in the game, something like that. And they ran away at the end, you know, but and we played Maryland later in the year. So it wasn't the first time that our team had seen size like that. And Virginia, honestly, was not as big as certainly Arizona was that particular year. And so that you know, leveled the playing field a little bit for us. And certainly without DeAndre Hunter, you know, who ends up, you know, right at the last second not playing in the game, that certainly impacted it as well.
Ryan, you know, it's amazing that, you know, often, at least I feel like in college, it takes a while to build your program up. But, you know, that was just your second full year there. And the year before you arrived, I want to say the team won, you know, it's a handful of games. So when you arrived there, you know, what did you do to start getting that team to think that they were winners rather than, you know, kind of getting thrashed most nights?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing we wanted to do, a lot of, you know, when you see change happen, you know, in sports, doesn't matter the sport it is, a lot of times you'll hear coaches say, well, we want to change the culture. And I've always tried to steer clear of that, you know, because that kind of intimates that the culture was really bad. And so I tried to do it a little bit different way, and it was the way I communicated to my guys was, hey, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And what we're going to do is establish a winning culture here. Like, that's the goal, to establish a winning culture. And how do you do that? Well, we believe culture is the behaviors that you tolerate and the behaviors that you celebrate. And so we want to celebrate all the things every day, day in and day out, that lead to winning. That's being unselfish. I mean, I could go on forever talking about it. And we want to, we're not going to tolerate the things that lead to losing. Selfishness, being late, you know, not being a good teammate, you know, as you're giving it your all, a plan, all the things that lead to, you know, losing, we want to eliminate those things. And so when we first got to UMBC, I wanted to make sure that, you know, the guys understood that, you know, they have a chance to do something special if they believe. And that was easier said than done. They had won in 2008. UMBC had made the NCAA tournament. That was their only appearance in 2008. And so when I first took over, the locker room was pretty much empty. Like, there was no pictures in there. There was no graphics or anything. And so one of the very first things my AD allowed me to do was to fill the locker room with graphics. And I put a bunch of graphics in there from that 2008 team of them cutting down the nets, you know, having a great time, you know, excited about winning a championship, because I wanted our guys every day when they walked into that locker room to see winning and see what it looked like at the end, and give them a goal, you know, to try to go for. And certainly I wasn't anticipating necessarily that it would happen that quickly, but it did. We had talented players, and you know, guys, they just needed a little push, and they needed somebody to believe in them. And you know, certainly they obviously have a historic moment, you know, that they'll never forget.
Ryan Odom, our guest, was the head coach of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I don't know how many other universities have a comma in their name, which is outstanding. Of course, the Retrievers, Ryan. And what was great about that is just everybody loves March Madness, even if you're not a basketball fan, because anything can happen in any given day. We've seen so many buzzer beaters over the year, but we'd never seen a number 16 seed win. And after you won the game, right, I know Steph Curry had tweeted at your team that I think he sent like your whole team some of his new shoes. Did they wear the new shoes in the second game, or was that not enough time to break them in?
They did, yeah. Some of them did, yeah, and some of them kept them. But you know, they obviously kind of go with what's comfortable, so it wasn't mandatory for them to wear them. But those that chose to did, and I've actually got I've got one of those shoes. We made sure that we got them signed by the whole team. And so I got four of those shoes, and I've got them, you know, one of them's in my office. But, I mean, the only thing I could compare that to after we won the game was kind of like, you know, you go from anonymity to all of a sudden it's like American Idol, you know, and you're getting bombarded. Not something that certainly anybody in our program was used to. And, you know, the cool thing for us, you know, I wrote on the board 0 and 135, you know, prior to the game, and then told them you're the one. And then we come back in, obviously we marked the 0 out and put the 1 there. And then I wrote 0 and 0. And because no 16 obviously had ever played in that second round game. We knew we were playing at that point. We knew we were going to be playing Kansas State. But to get to my point, I didn't want, because of all the hoopla and the media coverage and everything that was going on, I mean, we had Fortnite, you know, inventors at the hotel, like people coming to get autographs, SportsCenter, CBS, I mean, you name it, it was a crazy scene. And my message to the team was, you know, wouldn't you really regret it if all we were thinking about and talking about was Virginia and you didn't put your best foot forward against Kansas State? I mean, what a shame that would be, right? And so I thought it would have been odd. It definitely would have been odd for me to take their phones and do that. They would have said, Coach, that's not how you are. And they would be right. And so I didn't do that. But my message to them was, put it down. Let's focus and have fun. Enjoy the moment. There'll be time to celebrate later on. And I was really proud of the effort that they gave in the Kansas State game. We could have been in the Sweet 16. We were several baskets away from that.
And for those who don't know, the reason the Fortnite creators were there is because your players, a lot of your celebrations were like stuff to do with Fortnite. And I think it was Ninja had hinted that he was going to attend the next game. Now I don't know if he did or not, but you know, as a coach, you know, coaching the younger players, like you know, every generation's a little bit different. And you know, you mentioned how I'm not a guy who's going to take away the phones, but you still have to say, hey guys, like your phone can't be your focal point at times.
Yeah, exactly.
The celebrations, because some coaches are like, nope, we're not allowing celebrations. You obviously, it wasn't an issue to allow your guys to have some fun with their celebrations on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime memory. I mean, you know, when you're a basketball player, you grow up, you know, you're playing in your backyard with your dad or mom or grandfather or whoever, your AAU coach, high school coach, whatever it is. And, you know, that's what all hoopers grow up dreaming about. They want to play in that NCAA tournament. They want to play in March Madness. And, you know, whether it's for, you know, the best team in the country or it's a team like UMBC that, you know, makes it and is trying to make history. And there's nothing better in sports, in my opinion, than that. And certainly that first weekend is incredible, and everybody's ready for it all over the world. And, you know, to be a part of that and you know, to be able to, you know, have that historic moment together that we'll share for a lifetime, you know, we're really blessed, obviously.
I'm interested to know what, like, you talked about the excitement of the players, but, like, when did it sink into your team that you did defeat a number one and not like it was a buzzer beater? I mean, you actually beat them. You really beat them on the score and on the court.
Yeah, I think it was like right at the last moment, you know, when we had the ball and we got a stop on the last possession, and then we had the ball and we kind of walked it across and I didn't let him shoot it. And, you know, we were all just kind of sitting there and, you know, the time was going to go out and obviously we got a shot clock violation and then, you know, Virginia had to inbound the ball. So it wasn't really until that moment, you know, when you're coaching the game and you're in it, you know, it's, you know, seven minutes to go, you know, Garris was getting cramps, my best player, and I had to take him out. And I was nervous at that point. But also encouraging the guys, you know, we've got to play forward because we've seen plenty of teams, you know, at those junctures in a game that's the overwhelming underdog kind of fall apart. And, you know, I certainly didn't want that to happen to our guys, so I encouraged them to go after it. And, you know, Virginia was obviously out of sorts and playing a style at that point that they were not comfortable with in terms of trapping and all that stuff. So it gave us some easier baskets, you know, down the stretch. But it wasn't really, it's never really to the end that, you know, coaches never think they have it in the bag. I don't care what sport it is.
Yeah, you want to hear that buzzer.
You know, Ryan, you mentioned that you came close and almost got to the Sweet 16, but even though you lost, when you come back on campus, talk about just maybe how that changed the feeling on campus, because it was bigger than basketball after that.
No, it truly was. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that I've realized from this game. Well, it meant so much to UMBC. It meant so much to our team and everybody involved. It meant so much to people outside. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many letters I got from folks around the world, you know, just talking about, you know, how we've inspired them. You know, I got a letter from an elementary school math teacher, you know, and they sent me this huge poster. And, you know, this guy, you know, has been teaching math for the better part of 15 years or something like that. And every year, he teaches probabilities based on, you know, the NCAA tournament to make it fun for the kids. And every year he's always said the obvious, well, you know, the percentage is 0%, you know, because it's never happened. And so for the kids in that particular class for it to finally happen, it was like they were over the moon, you know. There's a lot of cool stories like that. You know, no one would really know about, you know, unless you ask. But, you know, I have obviously great memories, you know, of that particular year, and that team will always be connected in a really positive way. But the biggest thing I'm most proud of is that because of that win, we've got a very young university, 50 years old, you know, just over 50 years. And my president's been there, you know, for the better part of, you know, 30 plus of those years, 28, 29 as president. Mm-hmm. And he was born in the South in Birmingham, Alabama, was raised in the civil rights movement, was in jail with Dr. King for 5 days when he was 12 years old. And you know, that experience, you know, helped shape him the rest of his life. And he really has built our university. I mean, it is a university of high-achieving students from all over the world, and certainly minorities. He's done a great job for here and at our school and in educating. And he's one of the best educators in the world. And for us to win that game, all of a sudden shined a light on, you know, all the work that he's done. And he said, now we don't have to explain who we are anymore. Everyone knows who UMBC is now, which is pretty cool.
As a coach, quickly, one last one, Ryan. Did it make it easier to recruit the next season?
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, I think just what I just said at the end there, you know, when we make a phone call now to recruit coaches, they know who we are. We're not having to explain what the UMBC means anymore. You know, we've got a great setup here. We have a brand-new arena that seats about 5,000, great for our level, practice facility. I mean, the facilities are tremendous. And you're getting a high education here at UMBC. You know, it's just shy of the Ivy League. And, you know, we've got you know, a great part of the world to live in, you know, and the Baltimore, D.C. area is, you know, very hot and obviously a great place to live and a lot to do here. So, you know, a lot to sell and certainly winning in the NCAA tournament is helpful.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us, giving us a little bit of a peek into how it was at one of the greatest upsets, if not the greatest upset in college basketball history. And you know what the great part is? Whenever a number 16 seed does it again, if it ever happens, but every year that will be talked about now. And when you're the first, like you guys were, all the retrievers, you'll never be forgotten. And so that's a pretty cool thing. Thanks for joining
us. No doubt. Yeah, there's not many times in your life that you say that you're in the first day to do something. So we're really blessed. But we appreciate you having me on, and best of luck to you guys.